If you all notice, there's quite a few people gone today. I think everybody decided to go and take a little vacation all at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, that Margaret, she sent me a picture of her sitting by the pool. And she says, I wish you were here. And I said, sure. Sure you do. That's all I said. I called her later on. I said, what were you doing, rubbing it in or what? She said, no, I really wish you were here. I said, oh, okay, yeah. But they had great weather down there. They're having a nice time. And, you know, I just appreciate the fact that she gets a chance to get away, because Margaret doesn't get much rest. She is always doing something for somebody. Praise the Lord. Well, as you all can see today, we have a baptismal pool sitting here. And we're going to have a baptism today. And, you know, this is a great and a wonderful day. Great and wonderful. And I want to tell you that I don't think anything thrills the Lord more than someone giving their life to the Lord, or more than seeing someone be baptized. You know, a lot of people will kind of downplay baptism and say, is it really that important? And, you know, I'm going to read you something here, and I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I ask you to pour your spirit out in this place today abundantly. And Father, that you would just be lifted and glorified and magnified in our midst. Lord, we come empty-handed, but we know that that's the way you like it, for us to be empty-handed, that you can fill it. Have your way. We give you all praise. We give you all glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My first scripture I'm going to read to you is Luke 3:15-17. And it says, and this is the King James Version, and it says, and as the people were in expectation. Are we in expectation here today? We need to be in expectation. Every time we come together, we need to begin to expect God to do something miraculous, wonderful, because that's who he is. He's wonderful. He's miraculous. He's Almighty God. It says, as the people were in expectation, and all the men mused in their hearts of John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latch of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Wow. And I want to tell you, there's no greater baptism than when he baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That scripture tells us that our God is a consuming fire. And what he does is, when he comes into our lives, he begins to consume the wood, the hay, and the stubble out of our lives. And sometimes it takes a long time, because a lot of times we got a lot of wood, a lot of stubble, a lot of hay in there. But thank God that he knows how to burn it out of there. And he does. And he doesn't burn it out of there to destroy us in any way. He burns it out of there that we might have the fullness of him. And, you know, only that which is eternal remains, which is him. And the next scripture, it goes on in verse 17, it says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his flour, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, and his chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. You know, when it says his fan is in his hand, in some translations it says winnowing fork. And what they used to do when they would thrash wheat, after they ran over it with carts and let the oxen and stuff kind of trample on it and everything else to kind of break the husk of kernel on the outside all the way, then the laborers would take and stick their winnowing fork in and throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow, and it would blow the chaff away, and the actual inside of the kernel would fall back to the ground where it could be harvested. And a lot of times in your life, you might feel like you're in the process of being stepped on, having the cart ran over you, You might feel like that God just stuck the winnowing fork in the middle of you. And you might even feel like he flipped you up in the air. And the wind of God is blowing on you real strong. And you're thinking, whoa, Lord, what's happening here? But I want to tell you what, it's all good. It's all good in him. And guess what? Once he takes that chaff away, he's going to burn that up. Because that's something that's not of any use after a certain point. You know, when I first became a young Christian, you know, I struggled with a lot of things in my life, you know, and I wanted to change in a lot of areas, and sometimes I had trouble changing in this area or that area. And some things God took away instantly, you know, and that's the way God does a lot of times. Some things in your life, he'll just take them away instantly, and you think, wow. And I mean, you know, you realize all of a sudden, God, you've done a miraculous thing here. But other things, it seems like he lets them stay there. And you keep thinking, whoa, when's this going away? And I can remember one of the first sermons that I ever heard Brother Eddie preach. And guess what he preached on? He preached on the chaff. And he preached on the necessity of the chaff in your life. And boy, I tell you, it stuck with me, and it really resonated with me because I felt like I still had some chaff. And I was thinking, oh, God, when are you going to take this away? When are you going to take that away? And he wasn't taking some of those things away. And, you know, the chaff is the outside hard kernel that is there, and it's necessary until the inner wheat grows to full maturity. And when it grows to full maturity, that's when the chaff is ready to be broken off. And sometimes you might think in your life, man, I got some chaff here. And Lord, I've been praying about you taking this chaff away for 20 years. And sometimes you have. Sometimes it's been 30 years you've been praying about a certain thing, a certain attitude that you have, or you'll find yourself doing something or saying something, and you'll think, oh, no, I thought that was gone. You know, and then you realize, hey, it's not gone. But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes that chaff is necessary until the full kernel is mature. You know what the chaff will do? It'll keep you humble. It'll keep you seeking the face of the Lord. It'll keep you from getting too exalted in yourself and realizing this thing is all about him inside of you and not about you. Because I tell you what, once the kernel's grown to full maturity, the chaff is useless. It's useless at that point. And boy, the master knows exactly how to break it off and exactly how to toss it up in the air and blow through it with the wind of his spirit. He knows all those different things. But I just wanted to tell you, I remember that sermon like it was yesterday when Brother Eddie preached it. That's been 40-something years ago. And it stuck with me, and I thank God that he preached it because I was struggling with some things, and I was saying, oh, Lord, when are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? You know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you what. Then I began to realize, well, maybe it's necessary for that chaff to be there a little bit. Maybe it's a necessary thing at this point. Might not be a good thing, but it might be a necessary thing. Praise the Lord. Okay, in Luke 3, 21 and 22, it says, now then all the people were baptized. And it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like unto a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know, other portions of scripture say that when Jesus came to John, that John looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And he came up to John to be baptized. And John said to him, he said, wait a minute, I have a need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? And Jesus said, suffer it to be so. He said, for it needs to be fulfilled. And a lot of people will say, well, water baptism is not that critical. And I'm going to tell you, if Jesus thought it was important, so do I. So do I. And I'm going to tell you, different times, even in the book of Acts, when Cornelius and them received the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues and stuff. And then when Paul came to them, he ended up baptizing them in water. And I'm just going to tell you, it's a type of you submitting yourself to the Lord. It's a type of you saying, I want to take this old man and I want to bury him and I want to come up a new creation man. And it's an important thing. And it is important. You know, I laugh every time I think about the tapes that Clarice Fluitt had years ago when she said that her husband George heard that there was these movings of the Holy Spirit, and this was back during the 70s. And boy, there was some big outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 70s. Catholics and everybody were getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was tremendous. But anyway, her husband George went, and he told her, he says, you got to come and see this thing, you know. And she went down there, and she said, and she was kind of had, she had whatever religion happened to be where the cutest guy was at that time. More or less is what she said. Whoever was the cutest guy, that was the religion where she went to that church for a while, you know, kind of thing. But George was Catholic, and she said with him, he was more Catholic than the Pope, you know, and he was a devout Catholic. Well, he went with this Catholic minister and to this meeting, and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, she went, and it was kind of funny to hear her talk about it, and it really makes you laugh. And and she started talking about the bird, you know, because, you know, with Jesus, it was like, he was like a dove that ascended upon him, you know, and she started talking about them having the bird up in the front. And she said, talking about that, she said, George, they was talking about taking the old man and killing him. And what they was talking about doing was baptizing him, you know, killing the old man. She said, George, they're going to kill somebody. And she was getting all excited and stuff. She didn't know what was going on. But, you know, some of the terminology that we use in Christians sometimes, it's actually kind of funny when you think about it. But anyway, you know, she said that these people got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were driving home in the car. And she said she didn't really kind of think this thing was real. And as they went along and they were talking and all this and that, next thing she knew, she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she said that God actually started, the one guy told them they were, the one minister told them they were going home with her. And she said, I thought, going home with me? And she said, yeah, we're going home. We're going to have meetings at your house. And she said, so they came to her house and they had the meetings. And then she said, when they did that, she said, it went on for years. And there literally was just such a tremendous anointing, that miracles happening and all kind of things. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, folks, I believe the days of those things are not totally over with. I believe that we haven't even seen the surface scratched of the things that God wants to do, if we'll just get willing to be obedient and do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. And anyway, you know, it's kind of funny when you think about some of these things in the natural. But I'm going to tell you, it's like with me, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of my testimony. When I first got saved, I got saved at home in the bathroom. I'd had encounters with God as a young boy, but never had committed my life to the Lord. I was about 21 years old, and I went in the bathroom one time. Miserable. I was miserable, absolutely miserable. Couldn't stand myself. Went in the bathroom. Finally told the Lord, Lord, I give up. I can't run from you no more. And, you know, his presence came into my life very, very strong. And, you know, I didn't get baptized for a while. Started going to church a little bit later, a couple months later. And I had been into the Word, and I've shared with you all about God giving me that scripture. He gave me that scripture basically in Acts, you know, where on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, and I'm going to share that scripture with you in a second, but Peter stood up and he said, men and brethren, This Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. You know, there's only one Lord. But he made him both of those things. Now, I got news for you. They were pricked in their hearts and they said, what must we do? And he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I love that because when somebody says you shall do something, that means it's going to happen. And I like that. And you know, I think that day there were about 3,000 people that gave their life to the Lord and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, it's a great thing when that happens. It's a wonderful thing when that happens. And it's something that you can draw on from the inside. I know different times with me, you know, I've prayed different times. I guess I'm sort of like Paul. I've prayed, Lord, let me pray with my understanding so I know what I'm praying, you know. But I also, when I speak in tongues or something, I ask the Lord, Lord, what did I pray? Give me understanding about what was prayed. Because I tell you what, the Spirit sometimes will make intercession for you. And it will pray through you in a way. And you don't know what you said. But you might be praying, oh God, get a hold of my nephew over there. And get him saved. And God might be, and through the Spirit, he might be praying, pour more on him. Pour more on him. Pour more on him. You know? And he's not ready yet. Or he's not ready yet. And you know what? Sometimes we're not ready. And sometimes we're praying, oh God, heal my aunt right today. And maybe auntie needs to stay sick for another week or two till she seeks the face of the Lord. And then she has a visitation for God. And so many times, you know, the thing about praying with the Holy Spirit, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, then it's the Spirit interceding for you through the Spirit. And it's in utterings and things that you don't even understand. You don't always know what it is, you know. I've told this story before. I remember when Margaret's father was in the hospital, and he had went in for a hip replacement, and his lungs collapsed, and he just kept going downhill and downhill and downhill. And they put him on life support. He'd always said he never want to be put on life support. Well, they did it before we got to the hospital because we would have told them no because we knew he had said that. And they already had done it. And it's kind of hard to get it taken off once they put it on there sometimes. But anyway, while we were at the hospital different times, we'd go in and we'd pray. And when we actually went into the chapel there different times and we prayed and sought the face of the Lord. And Margaret said that the Lord gave her that song, It Is Well With My Soul, you know. And every time she'd go in there, she'd tell her dad, she'd say, Daddy, it's well with your soul. He couldn't answer. He was supposedly in a coma. But when she would say that, I would see tears come in his eyes and stuff, you know. So I knew he was getting it. You know, sometimes when you think you're praying for somebody and they don't know it, they do know it. And I'm going to tell you, we kept doing that. And then I'd go in and I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray, Lord, raise him up, Lord, take him. I didn't know how to pray. So I just prayed in the Holy Spirit, you know. And, you know, eventually it come down to the point where they had to make the decision to turn the stuff off. And it had been going, he had been in ICU for like 30 something days or something like that. But the Lord gave Margaret that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And, you know, nobody from church came to the hospital while we were there, you know. It was just us and her family. And we came to church the Sunday after the Lord had given her that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And so what happens? Brother Eddie gets up and preaches a sermon on It Is Well With My Soul. And tells the story of that person that wrote that song. And, I mean, it was just, you know, all we could do was just sit and just cry. Because we knew God was speaking to our hearts and ministering to us through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's the neat thing about when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He ministers to you in special ways. Special ways. And, you know, finally, I believe after everybody got willing to let go and let and release him, then they turned off the life support and he went on and be with the Lord, you know. But anyway, what I'm saying to you is that when the Holy Ghost is in your life, it's such a special thing. I mean, you know, sometimes people don't even understand some of the things that you say or that you do because you feel like you're supposed to do that. Sometimes people get mad at you over things that you say and you do. But you got to do what God tells you to do. Now, I'm just going to read you some scriptures here, and then we're going to have a baptismal service. And as we have this, I want you all to stay very prayerful. And just, and if you feel like you want to come up around the tank, come up around the tank. And if you got a prophetic word for the sister, give her the word. Or pray for her. And just pray that God's anointing rest in her life in a new and a fresh way after she goes down into the water. I'm going to start off reading you just a few different scriptures. In Joel 2, 28 and 29, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit." Zechariah 12:10. "And I will pour out upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Isaiah 32:15. "Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest." There's going to come a day, folks, when you're not only going to be a fruitful field, but you're going to be a forest. You're going to, we sing that song, "Thank God I'm a tree planted by living waters." You're going to be a tree. You're going to be a tree of life. You're going to be a tree where people can pick the fruit of the Spirit off of you, and it'll be for the healing of the nations. You know, in Revelations, there was a crystal stream that came out of the throne, and there was a tree on one side of the stream and a tree on the other side of the stream. I got news for you. Jesus was the original tree of life. Thank God you're a tree too, because you've been engrafted into the vine by the word of God. And I want you to know there's going to come a time when it's not only going to be a field, but it's going to be a forest. Praise God. Isaiah 44:2-3. "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and that formed thee from the womb, which helped thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jezreel, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offsprings." John 7:37-39. "In the last days of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake this of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And I'm going to tell you, that was done during the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, they went into the temple area, and they climbed up these stairs, and there was a fountain there, and they poured water on one side, and they poured wine on the other side, and it ran down. And that was what people were to dip out of and they could drink out of. And I'm going to tell you what, God's going to begin to pour the water of the word. He's already poured that into you, but he's going to begin to bring the wine of the Spirit out in you. And I'm going to tell you what, that'll bring the joy of the Lord into people who taste of that. Because they'll say, like the woman at the feast, they'll say, the governor at the feast, "You've saved the best for last. you've saved the best for last. Because the first thing that Jesus did was turn water into wine. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake this of the Spirit, which they that believed had not received, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Galatians 3:14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Acts 2:14-21. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. And you know, after the Holy Ghost came on them, people saw them out there, and they thought, my God, they're drunk. I tell you what, I remember one time years ago when Emily Dickerson got drunk in the Holy Spirit. It was the funniest and the most pleasant thing you ever saw. The Spirit of God flowed out of her. She laughed and she giggled and she was just, it was joyous. And she was a quiet person. I mean, I used to drive her home from church on Sunday nights a lot, you know, because she'd come and they'd drop her off. And me and Margaret would take her home. Even when it was out of our way, we'd go way out of our way to take her home. But I used to love that lady because she loved God, but she was such a quiet, soft-spoken lady. And to see the Holy Spirit just flow through her like that, I mean, man, she was just drunk in the Holy Spirit. And it was something to behold, the joy of the Lord just bubbling out of her and stuff. I loved it. But anyway, but he said, for these men are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing but it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. What kind of flesh? All flesh? All flesh? All flesh. Hey, I like that. All flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord cometh. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, I'm going to emphasize that, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2:36-41. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify, exhorting, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I want you to know that that word sealed there literally means stamped with a signet ring. And you know, the kings in the old days and all of the people in authority had a signet ring. And buddy, when something was official and it belonged to the king, or it was coming from the king, they would pour hot wax on it, and he would take his ring and he would stamp that. And that meant that, buddy, you better pay attention, because that was an official thing that had all the power, all the authority, all of the might of the king. And I got news for you. So do you. So do you. And you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And as that Holy Spirit comes into your life in a greater measure, you have all the authority of the king behind the things that he tells you to do. Praise God. Okay, that's all I had to share with you this morning. And if you'll go ahead and get ready, we'll go ahead and baptize you. And Cynthia, if you'd like to come up and play something. And I want you all to be very prayerful as we do this, you know. I mean, you know, we should expect the Holy Spirit to do mighty things as this happens. Praise the Lord. How about let's stand up and let's just worship the Lord a little bit here. Praise God. Hey, Parker, come up here. I want you to take some pictures with my phone. I bet you're a good picture taker. I know you are.
Never asked, and anybody wants to take pictures can come up and take
them. Yes, absolutely. Anybody wants to take pictures can come up and take them. All you got to do on this thing, hit that. It's just like your mom's.
Yeah.
And then just make sure, let's see, that this is up for the picture mode here.
Okay.
And then you just touch it. You might have to redo it. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. You get something we can sing, Cynthia? Let's sing something. Don't have anything? Well, let's just all sing something. Just come up with something we can sing here. Sherry, you got a song for us? Okay, that's a good one. Let's do that one. Thank God I'm a tree. We've been talking about trees a while ago. Planted by living waters, my leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep, and all that I do, he said I would prosper. We're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by him. Thank God I'm a tree, planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep, and all shall bear fruit. How can we but help it? We're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by him. I'm a tree,
yes,
planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep, and we shall bear fruit. How can we but help it? I'm a tree of the Lord, and I'm planted by him. Praise God. Curtis, when we do the baptism, keep the recorder going in case there's a prophetic word or anything.
Help me.
stay up here, because when she comes back out, she'll have wet feet.
Yeah.
When she touches this, all right,
make sure
you'll be slippery. Make sure she stays on this and then dries off, okay? But you'll have to hold on to it. Okay?
Get a hold of her arms or something. Yeah.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
If it's okay with you, I was going to read this word to her when she got in the
court. Oh, okay. That's fine. Sure.
I gave it to her last week. But
praise the Lord.
Good.
Praise the Lord.
Right. That other translation is this translation.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Praise God. Praise God.
Nice.
Praise the Lord. You know, while we're waiting, I was just going to share with you. I remember when my mother got baptized. It's a little different nowadays. We got a nice warm pool. I can remember going down to the Ohio River in the winter time, and I remember, I think there might have been a little bit of ice out there. They broke it, and she went down in there and got baptized. And I'm going to tell you, it was a cold day. We was just talking about that. We said, back in the old days when it was cold, you spoke in tongues whether you wanted to or not. Your teeth were chattering, buddy, when you went in that water. That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord.
You know, that used to happen at the old church.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, I did.
We had a 300-gallon tank there that was ice cold. And when we did it in the winter, we were putting cold water. That's the only water we had.
Yeah, that's all we had.
When you got down in it.
Well, you know, I remember one time when I was teaching children's church, and I taught on baptism. This was a lot of years ago, and Mark was in that class, and he was pretty young. I mean, he was, I don't know, he might have been 9, 10 years old, something like that. And he came up to me afterwards, and he told me, he said, "Dad, I want to get baptized." And I said, "Are you sure, buddy?" He said, "Yeah." And we talked about it a little bit. And I said, "Are you really sure?" And I mean, it was almost like I was trying to talk him out of it. But what it was is, when he was real little, he always had a lot of earaches. And when he'd get water in his ear, he'd get a really bad earache, you know. And Margaret always would, she was a overprotective mother, and would always tell him, "Be careful if you went swimming. Don't get water in his ears," you know, and all this stuff like that. And he didn't like to go underwater, you know, because she had kind of instilled that in him at that time. Now, I think he's over that now, but you know, so I was kind of saying to him, are you really sure you want to do this, buddy? I said, "You know they're going to stick you under the water." He said, "Yeah, Dad, I'm sure." And I thought, man, I know God got a hold of him. And when we baptized him and he went down in the water, I think we got all but about a spot about that big on the top of his head where he didn't go all the way under. But I had a laugh but you know, that just thrilled my heart, because I knew he had had an experience with God, you know, because he didn't like going underwater at that point, you know, still young. Come on up, sis. Praise God. Anybody wants to gather around up here, you're welcome to do that. Just come right on up here, and you can lay your towel right there.
I'm gonna climb up them steps and step right here.
Oh,
you can step into about 10 inches of water.
Yeah.
I could just throw my leg over.
Well,
I mean, that's
just
kind of hard.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, however you want to do it. We want to kind of hold on to you. Okay. You want
to
just sit down.
Hold on
here and just.
So you're just going to sit down right there.
Put your feet down there and sit down.
Okay. This is nice and warm.
Yeah. We were just talking. Praise the Lord.
I asked Brother Oscar if I could read this word to you that I gave you last week.
Yeah. Yes.
It's coming out of 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse, out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "And baptism, which is a figure of your deliverance, does now also save you from the inward questionings and fears, not by removing of the outward body filth by bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ."
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Somebody come up here and hold this microphone here. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, just gather around here, anybody, and if you feel like you have a word for her, just give it to her. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as our sister has come and said she wanted to be baptized in your precious name, that name that's above all name, that name that has, as there's only power in that one name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we baptize her in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just worship Him, sister. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, bless our Lord right now. Right now, Father. Just pour yourself through her in your precious name. In your precious name, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 For surely, my daughter, I would say unto you this day, that even as my son Jesus came forth, and he stepped down into the water to be baptized, and when he came up, even the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon him. I say the Holy Spirit has infilled you and indwells you. And I would say unto you this day, even as I said unto him, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And I would say, daughter, you are my beloved daughter in Christ, in whom I am well pleased. And I shall even begin to open things up to you that I've kept hidden from you. I shall begin to open even the treasures of heaven up to you. For surely I do love you, and surely I shall do mighty things through you. I've called you even to be a worshiper and a joyous person. And as you do that, it shall be an infectious thing to those around you as you worship me. As you release yourself in my spirit, then surely my spirit shall overflow from you on and touch those around you even. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you right now, Father, let that anointing rest on her. Oh, kalabasiti obukai kalabasio. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. She's a special vessel of yours, Father, a special vessel. Oh, you've known her from even from your mother's womb. Amen. You've known her.
Amen. Praise God. And I would say unto thee, my daughter, that spirit which I have given thee shall not depart from me, saith the Lord, because that shall rest upon thee all the days of thy life. And they shall no longer fear thy life, saith the Lord, but thou shalt know that thou knows that thou knows that it is me in you and you in me. And there's a celebration going on.
Yes.
And the world will see that celebration because you won't be able to contain it, saith the Lord. You are set free, and whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
To worship me in every way that Hallelujah. You would even imagine, saith the
Glory
Lord. Your feet will begin to move. Your arms will swing. Your lips will have utterance, saith the Lord. Your face will light up and will rejoice in my presence, saith the Lord. And those that see you will also see me, saith the Lord. Because I have given thee charge, saith the Lord, that I will never leave thee, never forsake thee, for I am with thee all the days of thy life and forevermore, saith the Lord. And you shall know that you know whom the Spirit is set free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody else?
And all these good things come through obedience, daughter. Obedience to my word. And even as I spoke to Peter and said, come out of the boat, and he obeyed my word, he had the ability to walk on water.
Praise God.
He had the ability to walk in a deeper realm and have a deeper experience than he had ever walked in before. I would say because of your obedience today, you will walk on water, you will walk in the Spirit in deeper places than you've ever walked before.
Praise God.
And even as the angel came to Mary and said, this holy thing that shall be born of you will be called the Son of the Highest.
Yes.
She said, let it be done unto me as the Lord has spoken. And because of her obedience to the word, the Son of God was born through her obedience.
Amen.
And I would say this day, you have taken another step of obedience in maturing and in promoting that baby, that son, to come forth in you.
Praise
and
God.
You will see that Hallelujah. Son even in greater measures in the days ahead as you continue to obey. For there are many wonderful treasures that I have yet to open unto you.
Yes.
And it will come even as a simple move of obedience that you've done this day, says the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Praise the Lord.
I just have a word of knowledge. God has already called you as a praiser. You're already a praiser, but he's going to enhance that praise.
Yes.
It's going to be enhanced. And you don't let nobody sit you down.
Right.
You praise God.
Amen.
That spirit hits you, you praise him.
Yes.
Because you are a praiser.
Yes.
You open this house up with your praise.
Amen. Oh, amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes.
You know, I got to keep on getting a word. You struggle with trying to convince people. That struggle's gone. You don't have to convince people. All you have to do is believe in him that was in you, that he convinces them. Convinces them. It's no longer you that liveth, but he that liveth within you.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. And praise the God. Praise
thank
the Lord.
You,
thank you. Here, step up right here. I'll hold your hand. And then they're going to hold you to the other side. Then when you get out, stand on that piece of rug.
Makes me nervous.
Yeah, just watch your step when you come down. There you go. There you go. There you go. Praise the Lord. God bless you, sis.
Thank you.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Isn't it beautiful how when that happens, I think the angels in heaven just rejoice. They just rejoice. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And you know, we got this tank because it's not too bad to fill up. And I want to thank Clive for doing all the work of doing it. But I want to tell you, we need to, anytime somebody really wants to do this, to be willing to do it for them. You know, I know when I first got saved, I had to wait a couple of months until there was some other people because we had such a big tank down there. And I began to even question my salvation a little bit while I was waiting. I'm thinking, well, maybe, Lord, maybe you don't really want me to do this, you know. And you know what? I don't ever want anybody else to ever have to question, maybe, Lord, you don't want us to do this. So if somebody wants to do this, I mean, if we have to, we'd even do it after a service if we have to. But I'd rather know a week ahead of time or two if possible. But praise the Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your words and your spirit. Thank you for the moving upon our sister here today. We just rejoice with her. And, Lord, just send special visitations to her through this week and for the rest of her life, Father, here on earth. And Father, just use her in the way that you would, that would be pleasing to you and that would glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. And I ask you to bless your people. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you.